Harihi Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahavirayankaravavahai Tejasvinavaditamastu Ma Vidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay. Page 48.
Whoa.
Moving
forward.
Yes. 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 Sri Krishna continued, My dear father, our home is not in the cities or towns or villages. Being forest dwellers, we always live in the forest and on the hills. Therefore, may a sacrifice for the pleasure of the cows, the Brahmins, and Govardhan Hill begin. With all the paraphernalia collected for worshipping Indra, let this sacrifice be performed instead. Srila Jiva Goswami comments, Govardhana is glorified and considered non-different from Krishna. Thus, Govardhana is the chief object of worship. Although there are many mountains in Vrindavan, such as Nandishwara, and the eight peaks such as Varshana, Dvalagiri, and Saugandika, Govardhan is the chief as understood from the meaning of its name, increaser of cows. By mentioning Govardhan among the mountains in the fifth canto, Srimad Bhagavatam 5:19-16, it is also shown to be the principal mountain, the basis of the other mountains of Braja. It is also famous in worship in local scriptures. It is famous for the festival in which people offer piles of food in front of it at various places, even before Krishna lifted it with his hand. It is mentioned also because of being situated at the front of Vrindavan and being very close. This worship should be performed with materials meant for Indra's sacrifice. Since Indra worship was unnecessary, because the devas were useless in supplying livelihood. In using the materials of Indra's sacrifice, there would be no extra labor in gathering materials. This would cause even more anger in Indra, right? So if they just didn't do his and then arrange something else instead, then he would feel bad is that they, instead of doing his yajna, they did another. But when they use all the stuff that was supposed to be in his yajna for go the other one, then that's going to... Right, you know, so Krishna knows what to do here. This would produce maintenance of traditional dharma. There would be no difference. Yeah, no difference from previous actions, since only unsuitable traditions were rejected, while suitable traditions would be maintained. Right. So in other words, how they'll do the yajna, how they'll do the different things, that will be maintained. So that aspect is there. But the extra points like worshipping the demigods, that's not necessary, so then that's removed. Because for Krishna is that if they're devotees, you see it in that light, then it has some meaning. But if we're doing it because of the particular benefits, then that is gained from Krishna. Right? Yes. Sri Krishna continued, Let many different kinds of food be cooked. Really? Still... This is coming up with something new for next week or something. Okay. Let many different kinds of food be cooked, from sweet rice to vegetable soups. Many kinds of fancy cakes, both baked and fried, should be prepared, and all the available milk products should be taken for this sacrifice. The brahmanas who are learned in the Vedic mantras must properly invoke the sacrificial fires. Then you should feed the priests with nicely prepared food and reward them with cows and other gifts. Right? So everything's being done according to the proper cultural tradition and the Vedic tradition that's there. Whatever the rituals are, how that's supposed to be done, that's still maintained. It's not that you know, we're getting rid of the demigods, so then the, you know, the proper way of doing the yajna, that's not there. Right? Does that make sense? So the acharyas, they gave us how to do the yajnas, how to do these different things, how to do the pujas, so then we follow that, and it works very nice. Like that.
Here it is mentioned, many kinds of fancy cakes. Both
many kinds of fancy cakes.
So but sometimes, you know, we have heard that bakery items are not allowed. Baked items are not allowed for Krishna.
Baked items are not allowed for Krishna.
But actually, it is mentioned, so it's authentic to offer baked items also.
Yes, but it's just before that they didn't have to use the oven like how they use now. They would have a slightly different kind of things. Because when you put the things, basically it means that you're, there's a lid on when you're doing whatever you're doing. That's one of the aspects that are there. And then, so exactly, that means other things I know how you would do with baked and stuff like that. But the cakes, I'm not exactly sure. Because here, cakes just means grain sweets. Yeah, generally it's made on fire, or because I don't know how you do any sweets in kind of a tandoor kind of thing. I've never heard of any. They're always salty, right? Are there sweet tandoor sweets?
The traditional cakes that have been made, that is made on, like, you have the chula.
Right. Yes.
Chula, and then on top of that, you have a particular plate which has sand on it.
Right.
And that sand becomes hot, and then you have the actual vessel where you put the batter of the cake, and it is closed. And then
yes, so that's baking.
But nowadays ovens are used, so this is not being used. People are saying so.
But I'm saying that's how it would be done. But generally, when you're raising it, you're only using soda and yogurt and those kind of things. You're not using yeast.
Not
yeah, so you're just doing those kind of things. So that's, that would be there, because before they knew how to do it on that kind of aspect. So that would be how it's done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, it's just from using the modern ovens, then they you know, the recipes will change a bit. And because that came from farther west, so then they get into those things. In other words, it came from here, but that's the thing that stuck over there. Does that make sense? Yeah.
But what is causing for it to be forbidden? The yeast?
The yeast is more of a, how you say? Because I think, I'm not sure, but it's more of a, like a mogul thing. They're the ones that get into that kind
yeast
of stuff.
Is also not allowed, and even like when we make idli and dosas for the Lord, so the actual process is fermentation.
But that's how it's done.
That's how we do it, okay, for South Indians.
Right.
But then now in the temple, it's a rule that by fermenting, you know, so many bacteria you're killing. That's the reason why you should do it by putting Eno or soda. That's how.
This is another. Bang my head on the table.
This is
right, and the bugs don't get killed when you bake it that are there sitting around in the Eno. It's like, where do they get these things? There's probably ever mentioned anything about this anywhere. No, so therefore, this is the process I was doing.
Jain. Huh? Jain, some kind of a Jain principle.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying is that we make up our own religious principles.
Right.
You either follow the tradition or you make them up. And so, but they make them up, and then they're vehement about them. But no, it's that. What do you mean the bugs get this? Everything you do, so then are they going to stop sweeping their house? Are they going to stop lighting fires? You understand? So, you know, what about their grinder? Do they use mixies? Okay, well, that's one of the five that kills living entities. You know what I'm saying? It's actually two, because there'd be a mortar and pestle and the grinding stone, but now they kind of do it all in one. So actually the blender is 2/5 of all the living entities you can kill. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know. So they're saying that we must follow these Rins things rather than we worship Krishna and then, you know. Yeah, so it's just, these are unnecessary. It's just that that words connect, and that's the thing. You understand? It's a problem, because it has the same word, and so therefore then it's done darkness that you like Kashayan. How do you make Kashayan?
Kashayan?
Hmm.
This is Indian?
I don't know.
Kashayan. Really?
What's that?
It's sweet or salty?
It would be like me making a comment about Mogan David wine and then you don't know what I'm talking about.
Oh.
Kashayan, Das Mularista. Yeah, okay, see. Like they're technically called Kashayans, like that.
Oh, okay.
These are things. It means Kashayans is more fresh, but than the others. You take all the different herbs and everything, and the water and you know all the medical things like that, and all they put it into a clay pot. They seal the pot. They put a lid in and seal it. Then they bury it underground for 9 months, and then during that, because the ground is warm, so it'll be the same temperature all the time. Then after 9 months, you pull it out, and then you have all your arishtams and all these different things like that. So, yeah, what about that? How many bugs in that one? You know what I'm saying? Is you can't get around the bugs. Yes? Okay. Okay, says that there will be no different from previous actions since only unsuitable traditions were rejected. In other words, worshiping the demigods, while suitable traditions would be maintained. Right? So then how they do all the different things that are there, the cooking process, everything like that, they don't change anything like this. Right? The brahmanas who are learning, okay, like that. And then having done all these things, then they're fed nicely, then they're given in charity, so it's, you know, it's part of the program. Srila Jiva Goswami comments. The procedure is described. The fire should be properly invoked by proper Vaishnava Brahmins who know the Vedas. Many fires should be called. This means the three sacred fires, Garhapatya, householder's fire, Ahavaniya, eastern, and Dakshina, southern. The southern fire is to ward off Rakshasas and other demons. Right? So in our yajna, when you just use one fire, it's included in there. The grass that's put around the fire, you see them go with the grass and put it around and like that, that's to ward off these Rakshasas and other demons. That's what it's for.
And if they do three, then would we...
It's just more elaborate. Then the southern one just is for that.
And eastern?
It says, I'm not sure. Because generally... means this is the Vedic thing. If you're doing that, you're initiated into the Veda and you do all these things, then it would be standard. You would use them. But for us, then we've just been given what's done in the Samaveda aspect. And so then it comes out, we just use one fire. Like that. Because we're doing it in connection with Pancharatra. Like that. Well, if you're doing it from the Vedic, then you'd have this. This is standard.
So Vedic is more broad than Pancharatra, no?
No, Vedic just means is it's going to be based more on the Veda, while we base things more on the Pancharatra. So then what's there from the Veda, that's what we use. So how you install the fire, like he says here, this is the second time it says, the fire should be properly invoked by proper Vaishnava Brahmins and know the Vedas. There's standard ways of doing it. You can't just do whatever you like. And so then you use those standard methods. And so every Veda has their method. And depending upon the particular brahmanas, particular shakas, then there might be some slight differences, but otherwise then it's not so much different. Right? Sri Krishna continued, after giving the appropriate food to everyone else, including such fallen souls as dogs and dog eaters, right, you should give grass to the cows and then present your respectful offerings to Govardhan Hill. After everyone has eaten to his satisfaction, you should all dress and decorate yourselves handsomely. Smear your bodies with sandalwood paste and then circumambulate the cows. The brahmanas, the sacrificial fires, and Govardhan Hill. This is my idea. O Father, and you, you may carry it out if it appeals to you. Such a sacrifice will be very dear to the cows, the Brahmins in Govardhan Hill, and also to me. So just as a side point to notice that everybody's being fed, they're eating. It's not Govardhan Puja is not a fast day. That should be understood, you know, just as a general idea. If you'd like, I can repeat it. Govardhan Puja is not a fast day. A lot of temples, they take advantage of, because it's a festival and festivals are fast days, then you don't have to arrange breakfast because that's a trip, because they're just cooking for the Govardhan Puja feast, and so they don't have breakfast, so that therefore then devotees fast because they just, it's presented as if it's a fast day, but it's actually not.
So you can eat the breakfast that day?
Yes. That's the meaning of it's not a fast day. Unless you're working on the principle you're fasting till breakfast. So does that mean we eat before breakfast or only at breakfast? If that's your question, then you would eat at your standard time, because you have your Mangalartik, you have, you know, your bus, your class and that, and then at 9 o'clock generally around there you eat breakfast. Right? So, you know, and then the offerings to Govardhan and that, worship of the cows, all these other things are all done after that. So it's not a fast day. Janmashtami, that's a fast day. But Govardhan Puja is not. Srila Sanatana Goswami comments, Sri Krishna said, O Father, if you have affection for me, then do this ceremony. That is the deep meaning of addressing Nanda. Do it if it pleases you, since such words are suitable for respectable persons. By being polite, he hopes to accomplish the ceremony. Right? Because he says it'll please him, and says Nanda Baba always wants to please Krishna, so therefore then he'll do it. But because he's a senior, he's still leaving it for him as a senior to make the decision himself. Right? That's the whole point. The Vedic culture means there is that culture. So you may be senior in one way, but someone else is senior in another way. So that aspect where they're senior, that's then up to them to make the decision. Right? The modern idea is that I'm in charge, so that breaks all other rules of etiquette, so I don't have to follow anything because I'm in charge. That's uncultured. That's not actually real culture. Culture means you can be in charge and consider everybody else's position. It takes more qualifications, takes more character, takes more time, takes more everything that the modern mentality doesn't want to deal with. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, in this statement, Lord Krishna practically described the whole ceremony, economy of the Vaishya community. In all communities in human society, including the Brahmin, Kshatriyas, Vaishya, Shudras, Chandalas, etc. We got to mention this time, right?
Human society? Or is just that?
In human society, you have that.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it also includes those who have the human form of life. Like that, yeah.
Right.
But the point is, human society also includes the cows and everything else. So,
yeah, right.
Because you don't have cows. You don't have wild cows.
Mm-hmm.
Cows are always domesticated. They're not a part of nature. They're part of human society. And in the animal kingdom, including the cows, dogs, goats, etc. Right? It means that you don't go out and buy yourself a dog. It's just there's always going to be dogs around. Just the nature of dogs. They move around, and when they find a place they like, they just set up camp. You know, that's all. And so then you take up the, you take care of those dogs. You know, you don't take them in your house. You just see that they get fed. Everyone has his part to play. Each is to work in cooperation for the total benefit of all society, which includes not only animate objects but also inanimate objects like hills and land. The Vaishya community is specifically responsible for the economic improvement of the society by producing grain, by giving protection to the cows, by transporting food when needed, and by banking and finance. From this statement, we learn also that although the cats and dogs, which have now become so important, are not to be neglected. Cow protect means they're not that important, but they're not to be neglected. Right, so yeah. So no swinging the cats around by their tail. No, that's it's not supposed to happen.
To the ceiling.
Yeah, no, you're not supposed to do that. Another hint we get, okay, are not to be neglected. Cow protection is actually more important than protection of cats and dogs. So in taking care, there should be more emphasis on the cows than the dogs and cats.
Again, modern society is not really up to this
thing. No, no, it got a little bit backwards. So. Another hint we get, well, that's another thing, is you can't keep cows in the city. You have to have it has to be in a zoned area like that. But before in the Vedic thing, people had their cows, and you know, everyone had their cows, and then there would be those who have more cows.
In Gornaga, some people have.
Sorry?
In Gornaga, some people they have.
No, that's there. In India, you can do it, but I'm just saying in the West, you know, you can't. It's a whole thing. You know, somebody has a pig or something like that, people freak out. It's like, you know, it's like the end of the world. You know?
Gornaga is like, you know, that.
Hmm?
No, this city. Gornagar.
You have in Mumbai also, cows wandering.
Yeah, yeah. Because all those cows belong to somebody.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kolkata, they also have.
Yeah, but that's all over India.
Kolkata, they also have.
Yeah, yeah. Out there. It means at night they all go back to where they're from. Yeah. You know, they just go out to. You know, it's like in the day they go out into the fields and the forest and eat the grasses and all that. So in Calcutta, they go out and eat all the garbage and then come back in the evening. Right? Right? Because Calcutta is just a large, garbage can.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, what do you...
More better.
That's why there's no such thing as littering in Calcutta. You know, if you throw garbage into a garbage can, is it littering? No. So that's why there's no littering in Calcutta. Wherever you throw it, it's Calcutta. You know, that's the problem. Okay. Another hint we get from this statement is that the chandalas, or the untouchables, are also not to be neglected by the higher classes and should be given necessary protection, right? Everybody's given that. It's just their purity, their mentality, this is how they like to situate themselves. So if they're taken care of on that level, they're very comfortable in that place because there's certain jobs that they do that others don't do, right? So then they're happy to do them if they're dealt with properly. You know, everybody does their part in the society. Everyone is important, but some are directly responsible for the advancement of human society, and some are only indirectly responsible, right? So everybody has an important part, but the ones that are directly is more important than the ones that's indirect. So of the direct, then the Brahmins are the most important, because then you get the proper understanding of devotional service, proper understanding of human life, how to regulate it and everything like that. The administrators make it so that all the people can live in a protected environment, including those in the direct and indirect. And the Vaishyas, they generate all the finance that will be used by everybody else. So in that way, they're more directly connected. Well, then the others, they take part in things that are needed, but, you know, there's no sense. However, when Krishna consciousness is there, then everyone's total benefit is taken care of. So then no one has to worry if it's seen from that. So there is the strata, but at the same time it's only because that's how it works. Right? Does that make sense? Just like there's an order. I go to the market, right? No, first I have some money, right? Then I go to the market. Then after going to the market, I go back, I prepare the, you know, let's say the vegetables. Like that. I peel them, I cut them, I wash them, I do all that kind of jazz. Then after that, I put them into the pan. I cook them. After cooking them, I offer them, then I serve the Vaishnavas. After that, I eat. Right? So, if you don't do it in that order, it actually does not work. Right? You don't have money, you go to the market, somehow or another, no one wants to give you any vegetables. Strange, but true. Right? And if you don't go to the market, you don't have vegetables to cook. So you can't just sit there and just take your knife and just kind of, you know, cut air vegetable. I'm doing air cutting, right? You know, like that. Does that make sense? So yeah. And then cooking, you actually have to put it in the pot. And if you don't cut them first and you put them in the pot, it doesn't work out so good unless you plan it that way. But, yeah. It's not generally recommended. And then if you eat it first before the offering, or you eat it before, you know, like this, it's not going to work. Or if you eat it before you cook it, you know, saying there's an order. So that's all it is that the society has an order of what, who does what and where, and which one is the most important thing to do first. Then it comes down. So it's just whatever place you're in. That's all. We put the social status on it, and then we're attached to that. So we create that trouble, not the Vedic culture. Mm-hmm, yeah. Verses 31 to 38, the worship of Govardhan Hill. Sukadeva Goswami said, Lord Krishna, who is Krishna himself, who is himself powerful time, desired to destroy the false pride of Lord Indra. When Nanda and the other senior men of Vrindavan heard of Krishna's statement, they accepted his words as proper. The coward community then did all that Madhusudana had suggested, right? So killer of the Madhu demon, so he's going to killer of the pride of Indra here, right? They arranged for the brahmanas to recite the auspicious Vedic mantras. And using the paraphernalia that had been intended for Indra's sacrifice, they presented offerings to Govardhan Hill and the Brahmins with reverential respect. They also gave grass to the cows. Then, placing the cows, bulls, and calf in front of them, they circumambulated Govardhan Hill. Right? So, yeah. So here is that the cows go in front because when they go in front, you can keep your eye and then you can see where they go. If they're in the back, you'll be walking along quite happily. Then at some point you'll turn around, there won't be one cow there. They'll have all found some other place to go. You know, it's like, let's say you're going with a bunch of kids somewhere, you put the kids in front, never behind. Yeah, I've noticed that. If you like the boys who go down to the Ganges, right? So when you go down to the Ganga, all the boys in the front, teachers at the back. So the smaller kids would be kind of there with the teachers. The bigger boys would be way out front, you know. But now if you do it the other way, teachers go in front, the little kids will be next to you, and the big boys will be way at the back. So it's just the way it works. So.
Even back to the point of Krishna's preaching Karma Mimamsa.
Right.
And Nanda Maharaj and the coward men, they listen.
Right.
And sometimes when we hear different presentations of the philosophy,
right,
and we don't really know the philosophy so well, we might also tend to hear and listen and follow.
Yeah. So you have a problem of Karma Mimamsa Brahmins coming over to your house and discussing philosophy.
Not to that extent. Not to my house, fortunately. Theoretically. Because here, the people that Nanda Maharaj, they listen to this philosophy.
Yes, but the point is but why was Krishna speaking it? What was the intent? Was it Karma Mimamsa?
No.
No, so it would be to make them more Krishna conscious. So in other words, they're Krishna conscious and worshipping the devatas, so now they'll be Krishna conscious and not worship the devatas. But as we said, if you were in Dwarka, then he could just straight discuss the philosophy because they don't have a problem that he's God. They see him as Paramatma. So then they would accept it from that kind of point of view. So then you would just discuss that straight. And he would just say, you know, he would speak from the first person. He doesn't have... Though generally he speaks from the third person. But, you know, like, Krishna will be speaking and quoting what Paramatma says, and, you know, or like that, or what... So, because that matches their mood. But in Vrindavan, because their mood is that of the sweetness without the majesty, then if he speaks the Vedanta philosophy... To establish it, then he would be establishing himself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that's going to kind of ruin the whole scene. But it's not that he's speaking about these Karma Mimamsa and then ending up as practicing Karma Mimamsa or that, because if they were, what did he do here? Why would you worship the demigods? What would it be, karma, jnana, or bhakti?
Karma.
Karma. Right, and who is the you know, the authority of karma? No. The authority of the process of karma as a philosophy. Yes. So here you're using a thorn to take out a thorn. So that's the idea, is that he's using Jaimini to get them to stop doing the Indra Yagya so that they worship Krishna directly. So it's not that he's presenting that philosophy is that, and they're accepting that philosophy. They're accepting Krishna consciousness. Because as we said, the elements of Jaimini are correct up to a particular point. So what's Krishna's conclusion after pointing out that the demigods, you know, just have to give the work, so it's actually not so important to worship the demigods? Worship Krishna. Right? It's not that he says, so you don't need that, so just do your ritual without worshiping. He didn't do that. So it's not actually, he's presenting it from that way, because then it's not going to disturb the mood. But in actuality, it's not.
It seems like in the previous cantos we see how if you deviate, things go wrong. And here we see how if you deviate, but you're connecting it to Krishna, it always goes right anyway.
Because I wouldn't present it like that, because people will take that. All they'll hear is the deviation.
Right.
They won't hear the Krishna part. That's what was Nard Muni's point of Vyasade.
Mm-hmm.
People will just hear that they can do this, and they won't hear the restrictions on doing that. Right. So here it's that the deviation from pure devotional service is they're worshipping the demigods, so it's still not going to work out. He's correcting the deviation. Because the point is pure devotion, that's non-deviation, that's actual piety. So because we're used to piety meaning those things that generate artha and kama, or moksha, but the point is we're only interested in bhakti, so we're only engaging these things in connection with bhakti.
So, Maharaj, if the Nanda and Prajapasis, the pure devotees,
right,
how can they deviate to worship demigod?
They're not deviating. I'm talking about us deviating. They don't deviate. Because he was talking about it in relationship to others.
For them,
it's a tradition. They've always been doing this. So then they're coming along in their generation and they're doing it. Because they're just grateful that Indra is supplying so many nice things for them. So it's just proper etiquette. But Krishna's pointing out is that it's Braj. So who's arranging things is Yogamaya and Krishna. It's not Indra. Like that. Does that make sense? If there's no Indra, Vrindavan would go on perfectly. In fact, after the disillusion, Vrindavan's still there. So where's Indra? So it has nothing to do with Indra. But because it's just the local custom, therefore then it's going on. But their mood is just that they're respecting the demigods because they provide these things so they can worship Krishna. So it's not really a fault, but it's unnecessary in Braj, where it's completely pure devotion. So then by removing that, then it also makes us not so enthusiastic. But otherwise, if they were doing that, then we would say, oh, because it's like Lord Shiva is the best of devotees, and so then for he's Shiva, he's a demigod, and so that opens the door for demigod worship. Like that, when we actually don't worship demigods. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We're respectful, but we don't worship. Is that some sense? Yeah. Srila Sanatana Goswami cites the following two passages from Harivamsa. Gokul was filled with great joy and shouts generating bliss. Instruments blared and bulls and calves roared. The cowherds were joyful. There were lakes of yogurt, whirlpools of cream, and rivers of milk. That's Govardhan Puja. Yes. Sri Krishna, in his form of Govardhan, said, if you are merciful to the cows, then from today you should worship me. I am your first devata. I fulfill all desires and am most auspicious. By my power you drink the nectar of the cows. I will be auspicious for you, my devotees in all the forests, I will enjoy with you just as I do in the spiritual world. Being pleased with all the celebrated cowherds headed by Nanda, I will give you great wealth. The brahmanas and cows, along with the calves, should circumambulate me. I will be most satisfied with this, without doubt. So, yeah.
About the circumambulation of Govardhan.
About the circumambulation.
Yeah, circumambulation. So, when we had Govardhan Puja, you know, this time,
right.
So, many of them devotees, they were doing 108 Dandavat Parikrama around Radha Madhava, the space, you know. So that's the same as this.
Radha Madhava's, I mean, because Govardhan Hill is on
Giriraj
the stage.
Giriraj is on the altar, right? Radha, near Radha Madhava, the Giriraj Shila.
Oh, okay, so they're not making a hill or anything. Mm-hmm. Oh. They didn't make a hill?
They did.
Hill was made.
No, but they were doing the parikrama for the Giriraj Shila in the altar, no?
They were doing the Giriraj Shila, parikrama of the Giriraj Shila on the altar. Mm-hmm. So is that bona fide? Mm-hmm. Why would it be, what would be the doubt?
Thinking that it's just a tradition, a speculation.
Speculation, but circumambulation means you go around. And since Giriraj is Giriraj, then on Govardhan Puja, if you go around, then it's not a problem, is it? Like we go around Radha Madhava and Giriraj is there, so we actually circumambulate Giriraj every day.
And some also circumambulate the rice hill, you know, that is
in the rice hill. That's part of the scene. But it's not so much the rice hill. Generally, it's you make a cow dung deity of Krishna, like that. And then that is what you circumambulate.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much the anakut. Because we see as they already circumambulated, that means, no, was it, did they offer first? Present, okay, and then they gave, and then they circumambulate Govardhan Hill.
So after the offerings.
But the point is generally if Giriraj is there, if it's just a pile of rice, generally you don't circumambulate, because the pile of rice is not Govardhan Hill, that's the Anakut.
Yeah, the sun.
Like that, Giriraj is the one who eats the pile of rice.
Yeah.
So you circumambulate the eater of the rice, not the rice itself.
Yeah, because this,
but there's not a problem in circumambulating the rice as long as you circumambulate the eater of the rice also. But if you only circumambulate the rice and you don't circumambulate the eater of the rice, then you run risk of taking your next birth in, you know, Bengal or something.
But you circumambulate prasadam.
But that's after the eater of the rice has already eaten the rice. Yeah, then it's prasad, so they can do
it.
Yes, but then the point is then why today you're circumambulating? Prasad's always special, so.
Because this one is in the form of Govardhan.
But the anakuts, technically, you can do it. It means, you can do it. Yeah, why not? So if it's made like Govardhan Hill, then you do it.
They make it like Govardhan Hill with the eyes. And
yeah, but I'm just saying it's. But otherwise, Anakut's just a big pile of rice.
Mm-hmm.
Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, they just put big pile, one pile of rice, one pile of halava, one pile of puris, one pile of sandesh. I'm not sure what the last one is. Maybe ladus or something. But the pile meant it was 10 feet high, 3 meters high. That. Pile, not stacked it up like that. It means actually a natural pile.
You know, just put the pot upside down. They put the pot upside down and then cover it with rice. Then it looks bigger.
Yeah, no. This is that. It was that big. It was actually so you get 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, you could get 4 heels in here. You'd need more space to get the fifth one. And then everyone would just come and take and you know, bring their tiffins, take and go home. So they didn't feed there, because that way you couldn't feed everybody there. Yes, it means you can make it in like that. The point is if you're taking as Govardhan, that kind of thing, then you'd worship in that way. But I don't. What's the problem in going around Radha Madhava's altar when Giriraj is there, seeing that you can't go in and go around the altar itself? Or
it's fine. I'm just confirming.
Okay. And if they want to do dandavats, that's not a problem, as long as, you know, if there's too many people going around, it may be dangerous. But
actually, it was many people.
Yeah, but then you can do the dandavat times. And if you can make it, fine. But otherwise, you do it at a time when there's not as many people. But yeah, it's nice. Why not? Sukadeva Goswami continued, as the beautifully ornamented cowherd ladies followed along riding on wagons drawn by oxen, they sang the glories of Lord Krishna, and their songs mingled with the brahmanas chanting of benedictions. Srila Jiva Goswami cites the following passages from Harivamsa. The people of Gokula and the Lord of Vrindavan then began circumambulating Govardhan in order to worship it, surrounded by many bulls. Right, so here's, then this also throws off the things. Why I was saying is that one has to be able, in the morning's discussion, see both things at once, and depending upon the flavor, which one's more prominent or what's time. Because here, Krishna's worshipping Govardhan Hill. So then if he's Haridasa Varya, how would he allow Krishna to worship him, if that's the only mood? Because it is Krishna. And then he's having fun. Because the point is if Krishna's Govardhan has fun worshipping Krishna, why would Krishna not have fun worshipping Govardhan, who's Krishna? Does that make any sense, or got too confusing?
I'm not sure. The doubt is that the Govardhan, he's got his own personality, actually, and we read, you know, in how he was born and the whole thing.
Yeah.
So that's the way the doubt comes.
But the point is, it's just Krishna's playing that pastime. But that doesn't mean that he's not Krishna. Otherwise, then how would we put him with Radharani? Don't do that.
That's the doubt.
No, but the point is he is directly Krishna. So just like the Shaligram Shila is directly the body of Lord Vishnu. So Govardhan, the Shilas are directly the part of the body of Krishna. They're not something else. Just that it has that pastime so that it makes sense. Just like Krishna's Sudarshan Chakra, then he has to get it from somebody's club, from somebody else, and all these different things. And somebody... That's just so that it works out. People like that here. They like time and space. But otherwise, it's Krishna. Because they're already there, but it just is that pastime, so then he appears. Because he was somewhere else, and then he's being brought here, and then he got put down or something like that. You know. So then that happens. So it's directly Krishna. So just as... Baladev, who's non-different than Krishna, is serving Krishna, and there's a flavor there. And Krishna, then as a Sarup Shakti, is serving Krishna, and Krishna as Lord Chaitanya in the mood of Radharani is serving Krishna as another flavor. So Krishna, as Krishna serving Krishna, is another flavor. So he's tasting from all these. Yeah, so that's all. So that is Krishna, that he's the servant of Krishna. He's Krishna, and we're worshipping as Krishna. But as servant of Krishna, he's providing all the grasses and nice things for the cows and all that. But as he's sitting on your altar, that's not exactly the mood that you're taking him as. So if we're taking him as Haridasa Varya, then, you know, we should be putting grass and trees and cows all over him and stuff like that. But we're not. We're dressing him up as Krishna. He's got his flute, he's got his peacock feather, he's got the whole thing. Does that make sense? So he's Krishna. But he's Krishna's taken this form to serve himself in the pastime. Because serving Krishna is so wonderful, so then he also wants to serve Krishna. And so he can do that as Govardhan. Because then from that position, but to actually get the deepest taste of serving Krishna, then he has to take the mood of Radharani. Because even serving as himself, he won't get as much taste as Radharani. And Lord Chaitanya is in that mood, then is saying Govardhan is directly the son of Maharaj Nanda. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's like...
Maharaj, I heard from Gopi Parandana Prabhu, he said that Govardhan is a great devotee.
Yes.
And only when you worship it as a deity, then it becomes Krishna.
I didn't hear the last part.
It's okay. Yes, so moving on. Okay. Okay.
Thousands of cows had golden crowns.
Okay, the thousands of cows had golden crowns and bracelets with gold-tipped horns and moved quickly in joy. The cowherds followed them, protecting their treasures. Decorated with tilak, red, yellow, and dark-colored cloth, and peacock feathers, with weapons in their hands, with peacock feathers in their hair, they appeared splendid. Right? So even the cowherd men have peacock feathers in their hair. Some rode on bulls and others danced in joy. Others moved quickly, herded the cows. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, the sacrifice known as Govardhan Puja is observed in the Krishna consciousness movement. Lord Krishna has recommended that since Krishna is worshipable, so his land, Vrindavan and Govardhan Hill, is also worshipable. To confirm this statement, Lord Krishna said that Govardhan Puja is as good as worship of him. Right? So, that's there whether you do puja or not, like that. See, the basic point is that even if we're worshipping Giriraj, right, at Govardhan Shila, we're going to be worshipping according to the rules of Pancharatra, and we're basically doing it because of the rules of Vaidhi Bhakti. So then, in that mood, he's going to be reciprocating with us as Vishnu anyway. So in that way, you can say, yes, when you worship him, then he becomes the deity. But the point is he's always Krishna. Right? Why can't Krishna be Krishna's servant? Krishna Dwarka sees himself as Krishna's servant, so why can't Govardhan see himself as Krishna's servant? You understand? The point is for us, it becomes formalized because we formally worship. Because unless you're on that platform, of that transcendental platform, then only you're worshiping in the mood of Radha and Krishna, so they reciprocate as such. But, like Radha Madhava, they're Radha and Krishna. But if we're worshipping because we're supposed to, they're going to reciprocate with us based on that principle of they're supposed to. And who deals with you're supposed to worship him? Right? Why do you worship him? Because he's God. So he'll reciprocate as God. He'll reciprocate as Lakshmi and Narayan. It's Radha and Krishna, but they're reciprocating with us as Lakshmi and Narayan. You know what I'm saying? So he's Govardhan. So he's there doing what he does. And if you put him on your altar, then he'll reciprocate you with you as the deity. But it doesn't change him that before he's not Krishna, now he becomes Krishna. So, you know, where does that work? How would that work? You understand? So the point is we have to see is that this formalization is because of us, not because of him. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like that. Okay. From that day, Govardhan Puja has been going on and is known as Anakut. In all the temples of Vrindavan or outside of Vrindavan, huge quantities of food are prepared in this ceremony and are very sumptuously distributed to the general population. Sometimes the food is thrown to the crowds and they enjoy collecting it off the ground. From this we can understand that prasadam offered to Krishna never becomes polluted or contaminated, even if it is thrown on the ground. The people therefore collect and eat it with great satisfaction. So another thing that would come up, you know, just on that, it means what we were talking before is about if you're making the Anakut like Govardhan and all that, and then generally they put Giriraj on top and stuff like that, no? And so then you're circumambing Govardhan. But here in the puja, they're doing all the Vedic mantras and the sacrifices and this and offerings and all that, then they're offering all the items to be worshipped. I mean, you know, the food and all that. Then after they distribute that and everybody's eaten, then they're circumambulating. So by that, there wouldn't be an anakut to circumambulate as part of the puja, because you've already eaten it. You know what I'm saying? But if one's making it like that, so it's like, then it's there.
Yeah, because usually you put all the kundas and all
yeah,
that
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just saying. So you can do like that. If you're doing that kind, then you can. Because then it's part of the thing, then you'll do afterwards. But we're saying it's not that circumambulating the rice, pile of rice is not, how you say, that's not specifically the ritual. But if one's doing that because you're making it like Govardhan, then that's fine. Sorry?
The rice? No.
Oh, I see. You're making it out of polymer or something like that. Yeah. But that's why it says ana, which means rice. But ana can also mean grains.
Challah.
Hmm? Yeah. Yeah. Big pile of challah. Like that. But I would say is if you're going to do Govardhan, if you're going to use the sesame challah, go for the sweeter one, not for the bitter one. Okay.
It's like bricks.
Huh? Like yeah, you just stack the bricks up. But then the problem is it'll cost you twice as much. So then. Sukadeva Goswami continued. Krishna then assumed an unprecedented huge form to instill faith in the cowherd men, declaring, "I am Govardhan Mountain." He ate the abundant offerings. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. In order to show the superiority of the sacrifice instituted by himself and increase the faith of all those present, Krishna assumed the form of the deity of the hill. But only if you put him on your altar becomes a deity, right?
Yes.
But here he's already the deity without being put on your altar. Krishna assumed the form of the deity of the hill.
So it's not he itself, it's another form, right?
I'm going to get a sore forehead, you know, if we keep going. Yeah, it's just like this is the third time today. You just want to bang your head on the table.
Krishna assumed this form in front of them?
Yes, that's why he did it. Yes, so they could see Krishna sitting on top of Govardhan Hill, or this huge form, and Krishna sitting, coming here, I think it'll come up, where Krishna says, oh, just see, he's you know, so kindly come to accept your offerings. So that's the thing. So you have two Krishnas there. You know, Krishna's so nice, they don't mind having more than one. Like the gopis, do they have a problem that there's more than one Krishna? No, so it's not. Okay. In order to show the superiority of the sacrifice instituted by himself, right, because Indra doesn't appear at his sacrifice, and increase the faith of all those present, Krishna assumed the form of the deity of the hill. He assumed a form with all senses, Rupam, which was like a second mountain resting on top of Govardhan, Anyatama. He said, I am the Lord of this place. Being pleased with your devotion, I have appeared. Please ask for anything you desire. Saying this, he then accepted the offerings, Bali, whether from afar or near, offered by the inhabitants living in Nandagram, indirectly through meditation or by those present at Govardhan, directly as far off as hundreds of thousands of meters away using long hands. So, yeah. So even if they're far away and they're making the offering, then with very long hands he collected everything. Giving bliss to all present, he ate the food. Sukadeva Goswami continued, together with the people of Braja, the Lord bowed down to this form of Govardhan Hill, thus in effect offering obeisance to himself. Then he said, just see how this hill has appeared in person and bestowed mercy upon us. This Govardhan Hill, assuming any form he wishes, will kill any residents of the forest who neglect him. Therefore, let us pay our obeisances to him for the safety of ourselves and our cows. the BBT Purport states, Kama Rupi indicates that the form of Govardhan can manifest as poisonous snakes, wild animals, falling rocks, and so on, all of which are competent to kill a human being. According to Srila Sridhar Swami, the Lord presented six theoretical points to this chapter. 1. That karma alone is sufficient to determine one's destiny. 2. That one's conditioned nature is the supreme controller. 3. That the modes of nature are the supreme controller. 4. That the Supreme Lord is simply a dependent aspect of karma. 5. That he is under the control of karma. And 6. That one's occupation is the actual worshipable deity. The Lord presented these arguments not because he believed them, but rather because he wanted to stop the impending sacrifice to Indra and divert it to himself in the form of Govardhan Puja, Govardhan Hill. In this way, the Lord desired to agitate that falsely proud demigod. Right? So here we can say, if we adjust it to what Krishna actually applied, right, means he spoke in this way, but the purpose of it was that bhakti alone is sufficient to determine one's destiny, right? Right? That engaging one's devotional nature, you know, in the Lord's service is the control, that his samvit, sandini, ladini potencies, then they control all the pastimes, right? That the Lord is dependent upon the love of the devotees. You know, at what service they render, he reciprocates that. That he is under the control of this devotional activities of the devotees. And that one's occupation is actually the worshipable deity. That engaging one's occupation in the service of the Lord, that's actually the position. Right? So that's what Krishna established. Right? But he did it in this way so that it would not distract from his... So otherwise, how would he stand there and talk about showing how merciful Govardhan is? You know, then they would see that he's Govardhan, and then it would be a whole thing. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, the identity of Krishna and Govardhan Hill is still honored, and great devotees take rocks from Govardhan Hill and worship them exactly as they worship the deity of Krishna in the temples. The followers of the Krishna conscious movement may therefore collect small rocks or pebbles from Govardhan Hill and worship them at home, because this worship is as good as deity worship. The form of Krishna who began to eat the offerings was separately constituted, and Krishna himself, along with the other inhabitants of Vrindavan, offered obeisances to the deity as well as Govardhan Hill. In offering obeisance to the huge form of Krishna, so it means Krishna's sitting on Govardhan Hill, and Govardhan Hill's still there, and Krishna's there pointing this out. So it's all going on at once.
It says that they may take home.
Yeah, he's not saying you should. But if you're qualified in this and that, then they may. Not that just anybody. He's not authorizing that, yes, everybody should take home a rock. May means that, you know, if the qualifications are met and the understanding is there, then it's appropriate. But just that everybody's there and, well, I won't be coming back for 5 years and I'm not initiated, so I'll take a Govardhan Shila now, because after 5 years when I'm initiated, then I can worship. But then my friend said that, you know, it's not proper, he's sitting in a box, better he's getting worship, so therefore I'm worshiping even though I don't even have first initiation. But, you know, yeah. But, you know, we're not worried about the rules, you know, we're a bunch of like this, that, well, yes.
Yes. That's not us. That's not.
No, it means you're second initiated, then you take it, then, you know, and you follow, you'll worship every day, you'll offer the 16 items, then you take home. Yes.
Why do they say that if there is Giriraj on the altar and there is also other deities like Radha Krishna, you should make a separate plate for Giriraj, otherwise he will eat all the sweets?
That's with Radha and Krishna, he won't. It's with because he is Krishna. But if he's with Jagannath, then he gets a different one. Because at Jagannath Mandir, one devotee had a Govardhan Shila and he put him on the altar. And they'd bring the, you know, the plate, and they'd make all nice things. And Jagannath, you have all those sweets and everything like that. He has his standard stuff. But because it's Purushottam Kshetra, therefore there's that formality to it, right? And so then, you know, the pujari would come in, put down the plate, you know, try to figure out where the mat is, find the Achman cup, you know, do all the stuff that they do, finally sit down, and after, you know, whatever it is, checking his, you know, whatever it is, messages and this and that, then he'll get around to, you know, start ringing the bell, chanting, you know, doing the purificatory things, you know, washing the hands, mouth, feet like this, and then start the offering. So Jagannath will sit there and wait until the offering is being made. Right? But Giriraj, he just sees sweets, he eats them. So then, you know, before the offering's made, so then Jagannath doesn't get any sweets. So then he told Janani Das Prabhu they need to either take him out of there, give him his own temple, or give him his own plate. So that's the whole point. But it's not that on Radha Krishna altar we haven't heard that that's a problem. It was only at Jagannath Mandir, and it was specially with these Jagannath deities. So it's not that it's necessarily. But that's the. Yeah. Does that make sense? Yeah. In offering obeisance to the huge form of Krishna and Govardhan Hill, Krishna declared, just see how Govardhan Hill has assumed this huge form and is favoring us by accepting all the offerings. Sukadev Goswami concluded, the members of the cowherd community, having thus been inspired by Lord Vasudeva to properly execute the sacrifice to Govardhan Hill, the cows and the brahmanas, returned with Lord Krishna to their village, Braja. Srila Jiva Goswami summarizes. The cowherds were inspired by Vasudeva, the superintendent of all beings. This indicates that they surpassed the directives given and thus satisfied the soul of all beings. They performed the sacrifice properly, yata, because they could not give up association with Krishna because of the arousal of great affection. They returned with him to Vraja, which was situated a little over a krosha from Radha Kund on the northeast corner of Govardhan. So krosha is 2 miles, I think. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so that would mean 3 kilometers. Northeastern corner. So northeastern corner, northeastern corner. So then that's east. Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. The road comes directly in, but then you go, okay, yeah. When you go into Vrindavan, you come, in the road, you come straight into Govardhan. Because you come from Vrindavan, because Vrindavan is east from there. Okay. Okay. By citing Karmavad to negate worship of devatas, Krishna established the predominance of action. By previous impressions, one develops the tendency to perform actions. Thus, being fixed in actions is based on the root of actions, impressions. Then, inspired by Antaryami, according to the impressions, a person performs actions. Thus, the power of action alone is rejected. By one's nature in the gunas, such as sattva, one can accomplish livelihood. Since there is no effort in attaining one's objectives, action should never be omitted. It was stated that one must worship one's means of livelihood, which provides sustenance and maintenance. Thus, predominance of karma was emphasized, and the purpose of those unlimited actions is one's bhakti. The main characteristic of the excellence of bhakti is worship of the devotee. Thus, Govardhan should be worshipped. That is the conclusion. The intention of Krishna was as follows. I, who am the Supreme Lord, have taken the form of their son. Who else is their Lord, and who are these devatas? Their inspiration for action is simply their nature filled with prema for me. Non-acceptance of devatas in my human pastimes will bring them closer to me, but in order to protect the human pastimes, I am not eager to promote this. Thus I will accomplish my purpose by making them understand through the teachings of atheistic Mimamsa Shakya Vada. This thinking should be understood in other places as well where Krishna preaches other philosophies. So anytime he does this, it's just to establish bhakti. So what's the whole point is that your actions alone aren't actually what's determining the results. That comes by the impressions. So for a devotee, what's the impression?
Bhakti.
Bhakti. So therefore, it's the performance of, but the action shouldn't be neglected just because it's technically not giving the result. Right? I'm getting results now from in the past. So it's not the action I perform now, but I perform action anyway. Because that's how I'm going to express that impression or bhakti. So by expressing the bhakti through my actions, then I please the Lord. Right? So, to keep people from getting distracted and worshipping demigods or, you know, new agey things or whatever it is that we are, I say, you know, feel important, then Krishna has brought this philosophy up to bring about pure devotion. Because what we see is that you take any of these points of philosophy are from the Vedas. Karma Mimamsa interprets them one way, Vaishnavas interpret it in another way. So he's presenting it the one way so that it doesn't get in the way of him being their deity, you know, in affection. Otherwise, then he'll be their deity as the Supreme Lord, which is not, this is the wrong place. That's for Dwarka. Right? So? Yes, no? Maybe?
I'm afraid to ask.
You can try.
Because it appears that we've met many, you know, pious Hindus, and they come to Govardhan with the same exact concept that Krishna actually rejected. They come and they do even Dandavat Parikrams, you know, the whole, you know, family, and I ask them, you know, why are you doing that? And it's all for karma, rarely for gyan.
But they're connecting it to Krishna, so therefore what we see in the earlier cantos then is explaining that if you have material desire, then you go to Krishna. Better to go to Krishna than the demigods. So it still stands that they're going to Govardhan instead of worshipping demigods. So in that way, then, that aspect has been established, just that they may not be on the they're not on the same platform necessarily as the eternal associates of the Lord. But the point is they're going to Krishna because they want the desire and that's more important, or Krishna is very important and because of that, then he's the one that you go to for your desires. You know, just like the child, they want something, they go to their father or mother who's important to them because so there's a relationship there and they fulfill the desires. Well, some, they just go to, you know, somebody because they can, and deal nicely because they can get their desire fulfilled.
Yeah, most probably the second version.
Yeah, but you also have some of the Brajbasis that they just, you know, Krishna takes care, and so they deal with him like he's, you know, part of the family, and so why he's not taking care. You know. But that's a different category. That's why it says we don't associate closely with the Brajbasis. Now, it means those who have gone there as sadhakas, them, but the ones who are born there, live their own Braj lifestyle and all that, we're respectful to them, but we generally don't, we don't pick up what they do, because they can do that, we don't do that.
Because we see from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Sanatana Goswami, he worshipped daily Govardhan.
Yes.
But not by taking the Shila, just walking around the hill.
Yes, yes.
And then the only reference that I remember is that Mahaprabhu gave the small Govardhan Shila to Raghunath Das Goswami.
Yes, yes.
But then before that it wasn't like, you know, traditional anything.
No. It's worship of Govardhan and Shilas is specifically our line. There may be individuals who understand this, but it'll be more of a rare thing. You know, just like you're saying, before they started this, there was actually worship going on of Govardhan Hill, but it wasn't, you know, such a big event. And so now Krishna's made it into a proper event that the worship should go on every year like this.
Right.
Like that. Instead of every year worshipping Indra, now they'll worship Govardhan Hill. So he took what was just some people were doing and made that into the full festival.
Yeah.
And then Lord Chaitanya is given that, so it's there. That means that, you know, but we have to, whatever we do, we have to, you know, so it's, we always have to overdo it, so, you know, it's probably half of the congregation has a Govardhan Shila or something in a drawer or a shoebox somewhere in a closet. So, you know, like that. You know, this is just, you know.
Just in case.
Yeah, people keep it as just an auspicious item in the house.
Yeah, so it's just like that. But technically, one's not supposed to do that. But, you know, that there, Krishna's there, I'm sure that they're going to get benefit. You know, so hopefully one day they come at the point of realizing it's Krishna, so they would take care of him. Because if it's directly Krishna, you know, it's not like bringing back, you know, something from the Vatican or something, you know, like that. You know, we're talking about this is Krishna. You know what I'm saying? Even if you have deities and just they're standing there, but you don't worship, you just bought them and just put them there, then they're like 3D pictures. But you know, so the form is Krishna. So if you think in that way, he reciprocates, but the full worship. But Govardhan is directly Krishna. Because the deities require an installation. Govardhan doesn't. So if these things are understood, then people would deal a little bit more pleasantly. You know, because there's always, oh, maybe later. You know, it's more of a hoarding mentality than a worship mentality. So, yeah. I mean, if someone understands properly, worships properly, does that, then that's very nice.
Like you mentioned, we're supposed to worship, we worship, Gaudiya worship Govardhan Shila as Krishna himself.
Yes.
Yeah. And here Jiva Goswami mentions that the main characteristics of the excellence of bhakti is worship of the devotee, thus Govardhan should be worshipped.
Yes, does it mean that can't we have, the two can't be put together?
Okay,
we'll discuss it. Right. Radharani is the Sarup Shakti. I mean, she is the total Shakti, the absolute total Shakti. Right? But what mood does she take within being the whole total Shakti? A devotee. Right? And which aspect of within the pastime she's to take? What Shakti? Ladini. Right? But now when we talk about Yoga Maya, she's also referred to as the Sarup Shakti. But what flavor does she take? What does she take care of? Right? She's known as Leela. She takes care of all the pastimes and the situations and arranging those kind of things.
Can we call her Gyana also?
Hmm? Being she does both Kriya and Gyana. Like that. The situation will be Gyana, but she's arranging also those. Does that make sense? So that's the thing, is all these things are going on for the pastime, so it's a matter of which one you're bringing out. So he is the greatest devotee, but at the same time we all know that Radharani is the greatest devotee. Rupa Goswami says she's the only devotee. So everybody else is serving her. So therefore, Krishna as Govardhan is taking that form so he can serve Radharani in serving Krishna. Right? Krishna wants to take out cows. That means Radharani would want grass for the cows. Otherwise, if they go out and it's the Gobi Desert, then it's not going to work, especially because there's not even cauliflowers. Right? You know, it's just, there's just nothing out there. Right? Yeah. So that's the problem. So she wants grass. And so Govardhan provides the grass. Why? Because it pleases Radharani. You know what I'm saying? So these kind of things is there. There's not a problem that both these aspects are there at once. That's why a chinta beta beta tattva. You know? Otherwise, if we say, no, it can't be both, then check out the Nimbarkas. They don't try to do two things at once. They do one or the other. Like that. But we can do them both at once, and we have no problem.
How are they different? What are they doing in Barbas? One or the other?
They're one, or they're two. Everything's Krishna, so he's one. So that's one way of looking at it. Then we see, when performing pastimes, he's two.
How they do the worship, for one or two?
Two. Mm-hmm. I mean, how do you worship the one? No, I just say, because their worship is a Radha and Krishna. Like that. But they can't handle both at once. You know, because they can't deal with separation. That is the highest ecstasy, though it appears as though it's, you know, not. So they only deal with sambo, because that's obvious, that's nice. Renaissance. So that's the thing, is that, that it's only we can deal with these higher levels. So, oops. Thus, predominance of karma was emphasized. Okay. It was stated that one must worship one's means of livelihood to provide sustenance and maintenance. Thus, predominance of karma was emphasized. And the purpose of those unlimited actions is one's bhakti. Right? The purpose of all these aspects that you'll do within your karma, according to your duties, appreciating the position of those duties, is simply to serve bhakti. No other reason. The main characteristic of the excellence of bhakti is worship of the devotees. Thus, Govardhan should be worshipped. Right? Because he's seen as that aspect the greatest of devotees. But it's Krishna who's taking that move. So that's the thing. It's both at once. What we're discussing this morning is that because he's devotee, then he shouldn't have a peacock feather. You know, and then if he's Krishna, then he does. But then how does he devotee? And, you know, then it just, you know, brain melts down. So the point is the both can go on at once. What's the problem? That is the conclusion. The intention of Krishna was as follows. I, who am the Supreme Lord, have taken the form of their son. Who else is their Lord, and who are these devatas? Their inspiration for action is simply their nature, filled with prema for me. So they perform their duties just to please Krishna. They don't have any other purpose. Non-acceptance of devatas in my human pastimes will bring them closer to me. But no, cause so they will then worship him, not the devatas. But in order to protect the human pastimes, I am not eager to promote this, because they don't want to. He doesn't want to distract them and think he's the Supreme Lord. Thus I will accomplish my purpose by making them understand through the teachings of atheistic Mimamsa, Shankyavada. This thinking should be understood in other places as well, where Krishna preaches other philosophies.
As Gaudiya's,
we generally don't go up on Govardhan. No. Means we don't. Others might. I mean, cowards. Our cows are all over the place. So. Yeah, we generally don't. He can. He's a tree there. So what's the problem? Divya Vrindaranya Kalpa Dhrumaraha, right? That Kalpa Dhrumaraha is Madhavendra Puri. So if he's on Govardhan Hill, what's the problem? And Krishna on Govardhan Hill, what's the problem? So, but we don't go on Govardhan Hill. That makes sense. You know, it means you go up to do, you can go up and do worship like that, but we won't just go up and hang out. Get on a Nike shoes and see if we can get to the top quickest and stuff like that. No. Okay. Chapter 25, Lord Krishna lifts Govardhan Hill. Mm-hmm. Okay. Those who are engaged in Krishna consciousness have no need to worship any demigod, even if it is found that the demigod has become angry. Right? Still don't have to worship.
What's the whole purpose?
Yeah. Adhyaya Prakashika. This chapter describes how Lord Indra was overcome by anger when the residents of Braja cancelled his sacrifice. How he tried to punish them by sending forth to cancel sacrifices cancelled. Yeah. Sorry, Indra.
The message?
Yeah, you've been cancelled. Okay. Now, how he tried to punish them by sending forth a devastating rainfall to Vrindavan, and how Lord Krishna protected Gokula by lifting Govardhan Hill, and for 7 days using it as an umbrella to ward off the rain. Indra, angered at the disruption of the sacrifice meant for him, and falsely presuming himself the supreme controller, said, "People often give up the pursuit of transcendental knowledge, the means for self-realization, and imagine that they can cross over the ocean of material existence by mundane fruit of sacrifices. Similarly, these cowherd men have become intoxicated by pride and have offended me by taking shelter of an ignorant, ordinary child, Krishna." Yeah. So the funny part is whether he's seeing it, it appears because of pride, he's not seeing it also on this transcendental platform. Right, because we remember in the Vedanta Sutra, then in Chandogya Upanishad, that he's recommending to some king or some sage to worship him, Indra. But it's being pointed out that doesn't mean him, the person, It means the potency that he's representing, which is Krishna. So one should worship Krishna. To remove, yes, so then you can do that. But then the whole point is then in doing that, one will get the benefit of worshipping Krishna. But now if we're worshipping Krishna in the form of Indra, or we're worshipping as the son of Maharaj Nanda, which is going to be more pleasant, which is more attractive.
And you also studied in Vedanta Sutra how this particular process of worshipping Indra, I mean, thinking that he's a potency of Krishna.
Right.
Is a very... it's not a quick process, you know?
It's not a quick process. Yes, because the point is it has that formality, and you're going through him as the universal form, and then how these are the arms of the universal form.
It takes 2 lifetimes to get to the results.
It takes 2 lifetimes. Mm. That's what it says.
Mm.
Okay, so then...
To get where?
Vedanta Sutra.
To get where?
To the results, going back to
it. If you want to get the transcendental position, then worshipping Krishna through the medium of Indra, but understanding it's not the demigod, but it's Krishna, who is that, by that technical worship, it'll take 2 lifetimes. So, yeah. You know, so that's more trouble and it's not as sweet. But if we worship Krishna in Vrindavan, then it's so much more attractive and so much quicker. To remove this supposed pride of the residents of Braja, Indra sent the clouds known as Samvartaka, whose function is to facilitate the destruction of the world. He sent them to harass the Brajavasis with downpours of rain and hail. The Kaur community was very disturbed by this and approached Krishna for shelter. Understanding that this trouble was the work of Indra, Krishna decided to smash to pieces Indra's false prestige, and thus he lifted Govardhan Hill with one hand. Right, so it wasn't even an effort. Right? So Indra is using all his might to try to devastate Vrindavan. And Krishna then solves the problem by holding up an umbrella against his devastating storm with one hand. And as we'll see, just with one finger of one hand, and it's the littlest one, you know, like that. He then invited the entire cowherd community to take shelter in the dry space beneath the mountain. For 7 successive days he held up the hill until Indra finally understood Krishna's mystic power and ordered the clouds to withdraw. Because otherwise, if he had gone on for, you know, a few months, Krishna would have held the hill, they all would have been there and all absorbed in Krishna and everything would have been fine. But, you know, it took him 7 days, but he worked it out. When the cowherd villagers emerged from beneath the mountain, Krishna put put Govardhan Hill back in its proper place. The cowherds were in ecstasy, showing loving symptoms, such as flowing tears and bodily hairs standing on end. But they embraced Krishna and offered him benedictions according to their respective positions, while the demigods in heaven rained down flowers and sang the Lord's praises. Shloka Anusharana, summary of the verses. 1-18, envious Indra inflicts devastating torrential downpour upon Braja. 19-33, Sri Krishna lifts Govardhan Hill. Verses 1-18, envious Indra inflicts devastating torrential downpour upon Braja. Srila Sukadeva Goswami said, "My dear King Parikit, when Indra understood that his sacrifice had been put aside, he became furious with Nanda Maharaj and the other cowherd men, who were accepting Krishna as their lord. Angry Indra sent forth the clouds of universal destruction known as Samvartaka. Imagining himself the supreme controller, he spoke as follows." Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, "When Indra understood that the sacrifice which was to be offered by the cowherd men in Vrindavan had been stopped by Krishna, he became angry, and he vented his anger upon the inhabitants of Vrindavan, who were headed by Nanda Maharaj, although Indra knew perfectly well that Krishna was personally protecting them. As the director of different kinds of clouds, Indra called for the Samvartaka. This cloud is invited when there is a need to devastate the whole cosmic manifestation. The Samvartaka was ordered by Indra to go over Vrindavan and inundate the whole area with an excessive flood. Demoniacally, Indra thought himself to be the all-powerful Supreme Personality. When demons become very powerful, they defy the supreme controller, the personality of Godhead. Indra, though not a demon, was puffed up by his material position, and he wanted to challenge the supreme controller. Right? So he's a devotee. He's not a demon, but he can, by not being careful in the practice of devotional service, get distracted by these material qualities. Then one may act in a capacity like a demon, though one's not a demon. Like sometimes a devotee would be doing something and Prabhupada say, you're acting like a Shudra. He didn't say they were a Shudra, he just said you're acting like a Shudra. Meaning you weren't seeing things from the devotional point of view. You were just seeing it about the, you know, the mechanistic point of view, or one's own sentiment, or one's own senses. Right? So, yeah.
When you talk about accidental fall downs, is this like something like that?
Yeah, no, it just happens.
Brief moment you get
because away. you're not. If one's not careful, then one can get distracted. So one always have to try to be very careful.
But it doesn't necessarily remove one's position.
No, no, because it's there, and then one goes back to. Means if he wants to carry on in this capacity, this demoniac capacity, then yeah, then you would find a new Indra or something like that. Because he's busy, you know, raining out, you know. How you say, you know, if it doesn't work there, you can go rain out, you know, football matches or, you know, something just to, you know, create trouble or something. So, since he's not doing that, or, you know, in Poland, he...
The United States this summer had a couple of... Houston.
Oh, no, I was thinking in Poland, then there was always the... They used to... They would arrange the program. Most programs are outdoors, and then if it rains, then there's a problem. So then they once had a program. I mean, a play they did. It was more of a, you know, just internal. It wasn't a public one. It was called Indra versus Indra, because yeah, Indra Dumdumara was trying to do the festival, and Indra, you know, coming with the rain, and so then it was a whole thing. And they worked it out to the end, and so it was all, you know, Hari Nam and all, you know, all like that. Indra said, just see how these cowherd men living in the forest have become so greatly intoxicated by their prosperity. They have surrendered to an ordinary human being, Krishna, and thus they have offended the gods. Srila Jiva Goswami comments, Indra said, just see how these cowherd men living in the forest have become so greatly intoxicated by their prosperity. They have surrendered to an ordinary human being, Krishna, and thus they have offended the gods. This is astonishing. Aho. They are lowly forest people, ignorant. The prefix upa has a negative connotation, as in upapati, param or lover. Upashritya indicates falling from dharma, reputation and family rules. By saying this, he shows his superiority over humans as a devata. Thus he mentions that the offense is against the devatas, not just himself. Right? Because you have to present it in that way. Right? He expresses himself in this way to show that it is not proper to give up the status of a devata and accept qualities of a human. The people of Braja did not think of Indra as a devata, what to speak of being the head of the devatas. Right? Because it was just something that you did just being out of gratefulness. It wasn't that they were worshipping him out of, you know, that awe and reverence or anything like that. It was just that he provides the rain and we're happy. Right? However, another meaning can be found in his words. The people of Raja, as dwellers of the in the forest and cowherds, were most sattvic in qualities. They surrendered to Krishna, who is the para Brahman in human form, Martyam, who is most affectionate to his devotees. Therefore, it was proper that they ignore the devatas. Right? The acharyas, by, you know, especially this is Jiva Goswami. Right? Yes, by the grammar, then they can adjust. You know, and then, but the point is this, that's the underlying principle that's going on in the pastime. Like that. Yeah. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premananda.